It's good to be in worship with you today. It's very good. And it's good to be in worship with you all online as well. I thank God for everyone who has led us in worship and for the opportunity to continue our current sermon series called Formed by Following, Authentic Discipleship. Today, I want to draw your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'll read verses 59 through 69 from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon is Words of Eternal Life. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. At the beginning of John 6, Jesus is quite a popular fellow. He has a huge crowd following him because he's going around healing people. When the crowd gets hungry, he feeds all 5,000 of them using only 5 loaves and 2 fish. If the people didn't love him before, they sure love him now. Not only is he healing people, he's also feeding everybody for free. The people are such big fans of Jesus that they want to make him king, but he slips away to the mountain. The next day, the crowd learns that Jesus has gone to the other side of the lake. So they travel across the water toward Capernaum. Imagine the fleet of boats rippling the waters of Galilee as hundreds of people try to catch up with this marvelous miracle worker. When they find Jesus, he is at the synagogue. But instead of healing people and feeding people and working wonders, Jesus starts teaching. "I am the bread of life," he says. "I have come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." The people, who were such big fans of the quiet Jesus, now begin to grumble. "Isn't this Joseph and Mary's boy? How can he claim to be from heaven. As he continues speaking, the crowd's enthusiasm plummets like a punctured balloon. In fact, when he says no one can come to him unless it is granted by the Father, the people get so offended that most of them leave, deciding not to follow Jesus anymore. Notice that when the masses are benefiting from Jesus' works, they love to be near him. But when he speaks, they don't want to hear it. As the dust stirs from all the departing footsteps, Jesus turns to the 12 and asks them, "Do you also wish to go away?" The question lingers as the murmurs of those leaving fade into the distance. Do you also wish to go away? The hearts of the 12 are beating like a drum line. Do you also wish to go away? A lump the size of a watermelon has formed in Peter's throat, but he speaks into the silence. "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and believe that you are the Holy One of God." Peter's statement of faith marks the climax of a fascinating chapter. At the beginning of John 6, Jesus has over 5,000 eager followers. But by the end of John 6, it's down to Jesus and the 12. What happened in between? Jesus spoke. He taught. He preached. He offered words. And for many, his words were just too hard to hear. Indeed, the Greek of verse 60 is literally translated, "This is a hard word." But before we come down too hard on the crowd, we might admit how easy it is to adopt their mentality. Even today, we enjoy Jesus when he's doing amazing things for us, but it's harder to follow him when he teaches. Now, we love to follow the wonder-working Jesus, and well, we should. He turned the water into wine. He calmed the storm and walked on the sea. He healed the sick and cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. He died on the cross and rose from the grave to save us from sin and death. He gives us a peace that transcends all understanding, even amid our trials. He lifts our spirits from the pit of despair. He opens doors for us no one else could open. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. He is the wonder-working Christ, a glorious Savior. But what about when he opens his mouth? "If any want to become my followers," he says, "they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." You mean we've got to deny what we want and choose what Christ wants instead? And we've got to be ready to suffer with Christ and carry our own cross? "Love your enemies," he says. "Do good to those who hate you." You mean the people we have the hardest time getting along with, the people who are against us, the people who give us a hard time, you want us to love them and do good to them? "Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions," he says. Wait a sec, you mean the whole materialist culture is a sham? You mean the impulse to acquire more and more and more is fundamentally misguided? You mean whoever dies with the most toys doesn't win? If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wait just a minute. If someone smacks us in the face, we're supposed to stand there and take it? Amid violence, we're supposed to respond with nonviolence? You mean that old rule, if somebody hits you, you hit them back, is wrong? Jesus' words are often hard to swallow and hard to follow. Peter Gomes served for years as pastor of the Memorial Church at Harvard University. And in his book entitled The Good Book, he recounts an occasion on which he delivered a commencement speech at a private school in Manhattan. During his commencement address, Gomes encouraged the graduates to follow Jesus' advice in Matthew 6, verse 34, where Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." Well, after the ceremony, one of the parents of a graduate was irate. He approached Gomes with fire in his eyes and ice in his voice. He told Gomes that what he had said about anxiety is nonsense. Gomes told him that it was actually Jesus Christ who said, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." "It's still nonsense," the man persisted. "It was anxiety that got my daughter into this school. It was anxiety that kept her here. It was anxiety that got her into Yale. It will be anxiety that keeps her there. And it will be anxiety that gets her a good job. You are selling nonsense." Jesus taught us not to be anxious about tomorrow, but his words were too hard for this man to hear. Yet anyone who actually pays attention to the red letters in the Bible, the words of Jesus, will realize they are often difficult to hear and demanding to implement. "Repent," he says, "and believe the good news." But it's hard to change our ways. "Just as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." But there are so many people in need that it's hard to know where to start. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." But it can be weird to talk to people about God, and it can be scary to share our faith with folks. "I am the way and the truth and the life," he says. "No one comes to the Father but through me." You mean everyone in the world has to go through you to get to God? Sometimes Jesus' teachings are difficult to accept. At a church I used to serve, I remember well one Sunday, I preached on a portion of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says that if we pray and give alms to the poor in a secret way, rather than making a big public show of our righteousness, then God will reward us and we will store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. At the end of the service, one of our church members, a woman who regularly attended, came up to me and said, "Now, Pastor, were you saying in your sermon this morning that if we do righteousness secretly, that God sees it and rewards us and that we can have treasures for ourselves in heaven?" And I said, "Yes, that's what Christ taught." And she said, I really have a problem with that. I don't believe that." And she walked off. I was thinking, that's not even really an interpretation. That is literally what Jesus said. At least she was honest. If we truly listen to Jesus' words, we will find them unsettling. If we truly listen to his words, there's no getting around the challenges they so often pose. But Peter's confession confirms that Jesus and no one else has words of eternal life. Not our favorite media outlet, not the stock reports, not the government, not the self-help books, not the TV personalities, not our favorite political commentator, not the social media influencers. No one but Christ has the words of eternal life. Peter's confession reminds us that while Jesus' works are crucial, we cannot neglect his words. Jesus didn't live, die, and rise from the grave so we could become mere consumers of his benefits. He came so we could become followers of his way. When Jesus shares words with us, we don't distance ourselves from him like the crowds. We draw even closer like the 12. When Jesus offers his words, we imbibe them like living water. We devour them like the bread of life. We digest them as nourishment for our souls. And we do our very best to follow. We remain in Christ. We abide in Christ. We stay with Christ. Authentic disciples don't quit when the teachings get difficult. I'm afraid some people think Christianity is supposed to be easy. Let me assure you that if your life with Christ is easy all the time, you're not doing it right. If daily discipleship is a breeze for you, something has gone awry. Following Jesus is the hardest thing in the world. One reason we gather as the church is to encourage one another to keep following Christ, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's counterintuitive, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's costly. Some might prefer a mute miracle worker or a speechless healer or a silent Savior, but salvation comes from Jesus' words as well as his deeds. He says in verse 63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." His words transmit the Spirit of God. His words impart eternal life. They carry eternal life with them. To hear, believe, and follow Christ's word is to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive eternal life. We can't disregard or disdain the words of Christ and call ourselves disciples. We can't accept his body broken for us without also accepting his words spoken for us. Bible scholar D.A. Carson states the matter plainly. Truly believing Jesus cannot be separated from truly believing Jesus' words. It was in the synagogue, the place of worship, that Jesus taught. That's where the disciples had to decide if they were up for the next leg of the journey. Today, the place of worship remains an arena of decision. In the Lutheran church I grew up in, we dramatized this passage from John 6 every Sunday morning during the worship service. The congregation would sit for the reading from the Old Testament. We would sit for the reading from the New Testament epistles. But just before the reading from the Gospels, we would stand and the choir would sing, "Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. While we don't do that every Sunday here at Second Baptist, we nonetheless decide every Sunday whether we are up for the words of God, whether we are up for the next leg of the journey of discipleship. Jesus' question still lingers. Do you also wish to go away? I don't know about you, but I have come to know and believe that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God, the Lord of all creation, the Savior of the world. Not only does he have the works of eternal life, he also has the words of eternal life. He is the Word made flesh. He speaks words of truth, words of wisdom, words of life, words of God. And when I hear them, I can almost feel the Holy Spirit rattling in my bones. When I hear them, I can almost feel eternal life welling up within me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says, and do not be afraid. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Those who believe in me, though they die, shall live. Lo, I am with you always, he says, even to the end of the age. My sheep hear my voice, he says. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my words will never pass away. Amen.